about.
I have an announcement to make, and it's very, very important. I'm serious. I have an announcement to make, and it's very important, and I'm going to say this to America right now.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Never know what happens when you put something out into the radio universe.
You're not like super high right now, and in 20 minutes you forget we had this conversation, right, Snoop?
Oh, I'm very high right now.
And it's getting late, so good luck.
Well, in the words of Luciano Pavarotti, I'm a perfectionist. I want things to be better.
Kevin and Bean, can I get a woo-woo?
Excuse me.
My butthole is so clenched.
Hey, Ma, can I get some meatloaf?
What's really going on? And by the way, we are whatever.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Have you ever wanted to lick your cat?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That's something you get a facial done to.
Roll another.
That's a deal.
Just like the other one.
I won't be a party to it.
This one seems to be about quit.
Ooh, hate the character.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Put it in my belly.
Just like the other one.
Hey, doesn't that sound wild?
This one seems to be about spent.
Stranger danger, stranger danger.
And I don't have another cent.
Ask the gays and ask the people. Ask the gays what they think and what they do.
Whatever.
Just pass it around.
Hey now.
I'm not that big of a Beans
just
fan.
Pass it on down.
And now.
It's a pretty quiet party, Murray.
It's only just started, Jermaine. Look at Brett, he's having a good time. Hey, Brett, you think it's rocking now? You wait till Jim gets here. It's going to be twice this. It's like a one-man party.
Well, does he need us then?
Our feature presentation.
Good morning, party people, and welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show. This time it's for a Friday, the 31st of May. Hey, Mugwumps, how you doing?
Yo! Okay. That's, you were calling me Mugwumps, right?
I was calling everybody Mugwumps.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Muggs is awake.
Muggs just had his coffee.
Woo! Sure did. Yeah.
He's clicked in.
Hello, good morning.
So, many things to get to, obviously, today, another busy, busy show. But I have to ask, what's the Highland Avenue situation? Jensen, I guess you came through most recently?
Yeah, they closed the entire ramp, which is an exit that all of us semi-depend on.
From the 101?
Yeah, from the 101. I wouldn't say that the traffic is terrible, but mm-hmm. it does mess with everything to a point where Kevin just walked in. But Highland being, you know, three exits back of traffic and then only learning about it as you hit it will ruin a morning.
Waze didn't work for you either?
I didn't depend. I never looked at Waze.
I looked at Waze because I thought, well, that's probably more up to date than the traffic report I was getting. So, and it was sending me to Highland the whole time.
Really?
I was thinking, I don't know, maybe I should get off someplace else and avoid all this.
I never use Waze in the morning because I just assume, you know, we're up.
Well,
we're up
the time, yeah.
We're up before any, you know, actual animals are awake.
I'm responsible, so I do.
As the guy walks in late.
I was. I was wondering how you guys came from the same direction.
How dare you?
The same route, and Jensen's been here 20 minutes. I was wondering about that.
And Jensen comes from farther.
I do. And he uses weights.
None of this is adding up.
Yeah, it's not at all.
Kevin comes on a horse, you guys.
Down the Old Town Road, I hear. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know how you hate it, Kevin? Hate it when you don't watch a game, and then you come in the next day. Well, like yesterday, perfect example. Mug says, oh, my God, Dodgers came back from 5 back, including 3 in the bottom of the 10th or whatever it was. And you go, oh, man, I wish I'd have seen that. I didn't know, right? You missed the great game of the night.
Right.
Well, that's what happened last night.
Mm-hmm.
And you are going to be you're going to be mad at yourself all weekend long when you realize you were probably watching the stupid NBA Finals and you weren't watching the Scripps National Spelling Bee, which was brought to its knees last night, Kevin. Brought to its knees.
It was like when they had it was a Tiger Woods moment.
Was it? Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. It was Little Indian Kids 8, the Dictionary 0. That's what it was.
Wow.
Kevin, they ran out of words.
No
way.
Oh,
that's pretty strong.
They did. They ran out of words.
That's how long this thing went.
The kid go up to the mic and go, what else you got? We're here.
Mean, essentially, they might as well have been. They ended up at some point going, look, we have no contingency plan for anything beyond a tie, because they've had ties in the past. In recent years, it's happened several times where two kids refuse to lose and they just go, all right, it's after midnight at this point. These kids are 11. Let's let them go home.
That basically happened 3 times where there were co-champs of 2 spellers.
How do both of you know this?
Oh, right, exactly. Yes. No, you're asking Jensen and me?
Yes. Please.
Because it's a big deal.
It's not a big deal.
It's a huge deal. All right. So they decided at some point they were going to just make an announcement and go, all right, we're only going to 20 rounds. This would be like in, you know, I guess in sports, like even football, they have two overtimes. That's all they do, right? Two overtime quarters, right? Sound right?
Yeah. I don't think that's right with the NFL.
The NFL.
Yeah, regular season they can end in a tie.
Yeah, but not in championships or whatever, yeah.
Right, in regular season, right. So that's what they decided to do is they said, all right, we're just going to cut it off after 20 rounds. And there were 8 people left at the end of the 20 rounds. They spelled the final 47 words correctly.
I would like you to at some point give some of those to us. Because I don't feel like there's a chance we would get them.
Oh, I was doing it pretty much blind at times, and there was no way I was getting
them. And the most confident person in the room, Muggs, would also do just as poorly. Maybe worse.
Well, I can play for you a montage of each of the 8 spellers spelling his or her final word.
All right.
And you tell me if you would even recognize any of these as being English words, because I sure don't.
For 13-year-old Risha Gunhasri, it was this.
I was sloped. A... U-S-L-A-U-T.
You are correct. Why would a 13-year-old need to know that word?
I don't know.
By the way, Muggs is back here like shaking his head. Yeah, I got this.
And then he missed it. He was spelling it along.
So confident.
Of course he missed it.
What is that word?
Who knows? No one knows.
There was one word in the final round where they asked for the origin. You know, they tell him. Yeah. And the guy goes, the origin is unknown.
So they made it up, basically.
All right, here's the next one.
14-year-old Aaron Howard.
Erysipelas. E-R-Y-S-I-P-E-L-A-S. Erysipelas.
13-year-old Sakath Sundar.
I can't even spell the names of these kids.
Isn't that one of the cats in Cats?
Yes. Yeah.
Erysipelas.
Yes.
It might be.
Okay.
By the way, there's already, it's so funny because there's already shade being thrown by other spelling bees around the world. Raul Walia, founder of the South Asian Spelling Bee, said, they need to use harder words. The words are available. That would have never happened at my bee.
Wow. That would have never happened at my bee. Maybe she needs to change the wording. She or he.
Apparently, personal coaches are very big. And 13 of the 16 finalists used word lists and study materials from some former champions. And there's just, I mean, it's become so big now. The kids are, you know what they're doing is they're breaking the system like James is breaking the system on Jeopardy.
It is. 100%.
You've got champions now that are better than anyone who's ever played the game before, and the game is going to have to adapt.
But James is one guy. This is eight kids.
This is eight kids.
And they said there's another way, too. You used to have to only get in through your regional newspaper. Like, they would have these contests, and you have to have a sponsor in your hometown. And last year, they introduced something called the RSVB, which, by the way, congrats on that. And you can basically kind of pay to pass that up. You give like $1,500 and you can join in trying that way. And they're saying that started last year, that's opening the field.
But these kids are so good, though, they would have won getting in anyway.
Well, they're saying there's only
you could have a bad... busy with their social lives that they don't have time.
Pushing away people of the opposite
right?
sex.
Like, I've got to spell.
Yeah, but they're saying, you know, like someone could have a bad day or there are two great spellers per city. This is a way that more people could come in, yeah.
Well, Kevin, you missed it.
I feel like I really am sad that I didn't see that.
Can I admit something that I'm willing to say on the radio? I cried six of the eight finalists. I cried when they won.
What happened to the other two?
I didn't feel those two.
Didn't care.
No, I didn't care.
Right. Just didn't care.
No, didn't feel
it. Wow.
Yeah. It was very emotional. It was awesome.
Mm-mm. Because it's like watching somebody, you know, run a marathon and you can't believe they made it to the end of the marathon.
Is it?
Yeah,
right. Do you watch people run a marathon?
A lot of people do.
Yes, but you don't. And neither does Jensen.
I don't. But I did. Kids were like kind of falling asleep. They had been spelling since 10 a.m. And they closed up around 11:30, 11:40. I was going to be up all night. I didn't care.
Right.
I would have come here amped up on Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
Like, if it went all night, I would have kept watching.
Wow. I missed that.
And flipping between the NBA finals and that, I figured out which one was true athleticism. And I'll tell you one thing, it didn't involve Drake. So,
well, congratulations to all the Octo champs.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I want them to know death is coming and there's nothing they can do about it.
Quite a voice actor. Keep it 100 because it's Friday.
Sure.
Medical Miracles based on Alex Trebek. Mm-hmm. Bean is very excited and won't stop talking about a movie, and maybe this falls right into what we were just talking about.
Good God.
Boom.
Good
God. A movie about a dictionary.
Pretty heady times for dictionaryophiles.
That's not a thing.
Nope.
I don't think it is a thing, actually. I think I just made it up.
We have a preview of Galaxy's Edge today on the show.
Excellent. Mm.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger raps.
Uh-oh.
Did you know that?
Mm.
I have it. It's going to be fun to discover together. That's coming up this morning. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Friday morning, you guys.
Friday, of course.
Friday.
Yay.
So, Pascal, what's up?
Let's find out. Here's Allie with what's happening.
I mean,
what's going on?
Who's Pascal?
That was Slang Man.
Was it Slang Man?
Slang Man's friend, yeah.
That was his friend who wanted to know about the soccer game.
Okay.
Licking.
Oh, right. The French guy. Right. Right.
Remember he looked up at the ceiling when he was.
No. No.
What's up?
None
no,
of that
doesn't
happened.
Mean looking at the ceiling.
So, Pascal, what's up?
Enough. Unbelievable.
Just so you know, we will be revisiting Slang Man.
Yes.
Oh. We must.
On
he has
Monday.
So many videos.
He's my new hero.
Yeah.
May I ask a question first, though?
Mm-hmm. Please.
You're fat. Have you been insulted or complimented?
Well, wow.
Depends on the spelling.
He said, if someone over 20 says it, though.
Yeah, it was.
It didn't make any
he
sense.
He had all the math wrong, everything.
Slang Man 2020.
M-I-R-K. Let's meet in real life.
No. Again, nothing you're saying is right, sir. Nothing.
How does K equal life?
I don't know, but I'm excited to hear more from him. Guys, you're up early. I want to give you something. Dark Phoenix in theaters June 7th, but how would you... Yes, you, listening right now, like to see it early. A K-Rock advanced screening of Dark Phoenix at Arclight Hollywood. It is going down. Kids love it.
They're a little late, but they love it.
They were. They were like, wait, is this real? And then it registered. I understand. It's all happening Wednesday, June 5th. Let's take the first five callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. You're going to see Sophie Turner, Jennifer Lawrence, James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, and more. I'm so excited for you.
Can't wait.
Guys, I'm going to do some Game of Thrones spoilers. I hope it's okay. We're, what, coming up on 2 weeks now?
Yeah. I think it's probably safe.
Remember how everyone freaked out at the ending and they're like...
We don't need the cats.
Don't need the cats.
Singing
ever.
The theme. That's not
ever.
A thing.
Ever. So everybody freaked out and they were like, this is not the way that George R.R. Martin would have wanted this. These writers are awful. We need to have a petition and they need to do the whole last season.
Over again.
Mm-hmm. Over again, yeah. Well, the Three-Eyed Raven is clearing up another Game of Thrones mystery.
Oh.
That's Bran Stark. Actor Isaac Hempstead writes has revealed in a new HBO behind-the-scenes interview that one of the show's finale twists was directly from author George R.R. Martin.
No, it wasn't!
What?
Creators David Benioff and Dan Weiss told me there were two things that George R.R. Martin had planned for Bran, and that was Hodor's revelation and that he would be king. So that's pretty special to be directly involved in something that is part of George's vision. It was a really nice way to wrap it up. I think he's basically saying, shut the F up.
Probably.
This was the plan from the beginning. Mm. You know that Benioff and wife have to be like, suck it. Yeah. Unbelievable. So there you have it. King Bran.
All right.
Apparently from George R.R. Martin himself.
Meow, 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 meow.
Remember when we did Meow Yoki?
Yes. Yeah.
Meow.
I'd rather not, but
this
I do remember.
Dave.
Why don't we do Meow Yoki anymore? Yeah.
We got to return to that.
We got Weenie Rose tickets to give away. Why are we doing Meow Yoki next week? Let's bring it back.
Why not, you guys?
How about
not?
The week after?
Well, then it would be too. Oh.
One step ahead.
Real good. You guys, William H. Macy, he appears to be getting ready for his daughter's high school graduation, as his wife Felicity Huffman awaits sentencing for her part in the big Varsity Blues scandal. She was one of 50 parents and teachers that were swept up in that college admissions sting. He has not been implicated in the investigation, but I feel like he still has to maybe think about things and how they might be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're photographed buying balloons that say, congrats, grad, you did it. Presumably for his daughter, who's graduating high school. They're the saddest pictures you've ever
seen.
They're
pretty strong.
It's almost like he said, how can I make a meme?
Exactly. So Twitter, of course, was saying, this is the new sad Ben Affleck. Like, it is unreal.
It's not crying Michael Jordan, though, yet.
It's or sad, up there.
It's up there. I put sad Keanu above it, but it is right below sad Keanu.
It is something, you guys. I feel like he could have said to someone, can you go grab these balloons?
Yes, agreed.
For me? It's just.
If anyone takes a picture, this is going to be nuts.
I would have hired an assistant just for this. Yeah.
For sure.
I would have task rabbited
it. One job.
Congrats, Brad. You have people, did it. Though.
Well, he has to have people.
Yeah, we think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is crazy that he would put himself in this situation.
It is crazy. Some birthdays for you. Clint Eastwood, Chris Elliott, Colin Farrell, DMC, Daryl McDaniels from Run DMC, LA Dodgers manager Dave Roberts, and perhaps my favorite of all of Kevin's hang-ups. And it's his least favorite because you can hear Brooke Shields'
come on.
Soul leaving her body. First,
come
we are
on.
Going to play for you when he hung up on her and she was in the middle of saying something. So you'll hear the commercials going on.
Follow
over.
Ms. Shields on Twitter at Brooke Shields. Hey, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, guys.
It's Cerritos Hall Square's two-week Black Friday sale going on now.
If only we could understand what she was trying to say. Oh, we do. We took out the commercial. Hit it, Steve.
Follow Ms. Shields on Twitter, at Brooke Shields. Hey, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I listen when I'm in L.A. I listen to you guys.
Her soul leaves her body in that moment.
Hear it.
Oh, I hate that so much.
Oh.
Come on!
Is it fair to say that's the one that affects you most?
Yeah, by far.
Yeah.
Because Bono was done, and Paul McCartney was done.
Right.
We know that.
Right.
But she apparently was not.
Mm-hmm. What about Jigsaw?
That hurts.
When you did that to him, sitting across from him.
He was sitting in the room.
He was praising radio. Yeah.
He was doing that.
And then you had the audacity to do an impersonation of him in that Rambo commercial. I've been hearing.
That was Rambo.
Wait, what?
Yes.
That's not Jigsaw?
No, it's John Rambo. Come on. Oh. Keep up with my impressions.
I thought it was Larry Flint.
I'm not sure.
All these years, I've kept my secrets, but the time has come to face my past.
Right? Dead on.
Okay, now do Jigsaw.
All these years.
Come on, man.
It's all I have.
That's what I'm saying.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
And now, breaking news boom.
Oh.
Allie, I appreciate you and the work you do, and mm-hmm. I care very deeply about what you have to tell us on what's happening. Oh. But
mm-hmm.
King of Mexico tells us that we have Fred Durst's home phone number.
Oh, yeah.
He came in here and said it, and I haven't really spoken since. Because I'm nervous about this whole thing.
He's not entirely reliable. You guys know that, right?
I know.
Okay. Yes, it could just as easily be the 7-Eleven on Coingo. We don't know. But he does say he has Fred Durst's phone number, and that could put Biscuit for Weenie to bed, or it could catapult it to happening. Mm. If we call and it works out. So do we call it and let it and see if it works out, or do we continue to go through other
things? We have a slight plan to call it.
Let's just
7 o'clock, yeah. But
let's just dial and smile, man.
You can't just call random famous people at home.
Your new catchphrase?
Two words rhyme, that's all I know.
I think it's cute that we think Fred Durst is awake at 7 a.m.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, well, we'll discuss more off the air and then make a decision. But Allie is here with what's happening on a Friday. What's going on?
It's Friday, first of all.
Yeah, yeah.
R. Kelly has been charged with 11 new counts of sexual abuse.
Robert.
According to CNN, an Illinois grand jury indicted the singer on 11 new charges in his sexual assault and sexual abuse case yesterday. The charges include 4 new felonies that carry a maximum of 30 years in prison. A lot of bad things, like 4 counts of aggravated criminal sex assault, 3 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse of a victim between the ages of 13 and 16.
Wow.
And 2 counts of criminal sex assault by force and 2 accounts of aggravated criminal sex abuse. Now,
canceled.
His attorney came out yesterday and said, no, his client is just being recharged in the existing case with the same alleged victim.
I'm fine with that, too, by the way.
Yeah, either way.
Yeah, here's what he tweeted. These are the same conduct, just charged differently. Same alleged victim, same time frame, same facts. We expect the same results. I feel like he shouldn't have said same facts in that tweet.
Hmm.
Like, that might have been a mistake. All of these true things are just worded differently.
Right.
It's essentially what your tweet said.
I knew this is truth, but these truths are old.
These truths are old, and they just added new words. Signed me, his attorney.
Send
this
him
is what happens.
Yeah, let's get rid of that dude. So remember when Joe Jonas got married to Sophie Turner?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Kind of a last-minute ceremony after the Billboard Music Awards in Las Vegas last month. Diplo was among the guests who went live on Instagram. So that video went viral. People were like, oh my God, he's at the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Joe Jonas was on a morning show yesterday, and he said, yeah, he did ruin it. I love Diplo, but he loves the gram more than a 13-year-old. He posts every 5 seconds. He literally, like, live-streamed with dog face filters.
I love that.
Turns out that Diplo wasn't exactly authorized to share the news on his social media.
Oh, excellent.
But Joe and Sophie have no hard feelings. He said, we just laughed about it. We loved it. We thought it was ridiculous. I just love that he was walking into the chapel like, gonna hit this wedding real quick. I love everything about Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner. They just seem like so roll by the seat of your pants,
they do
fun.
Seem like that, yeah.
Which one is Joe?
He's the,
Don't even ask. Don't even start again.
He's
with
the girl drummer.
No.
That's
no.
Hanson.
Sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
Joe, we decided, is the
good-looking.
I think he's the good-looking
one.
Does
he sing Chains?
That's Nick, I think.
The handsome one?
Yes.
Which one's the Mexican one?
I think that's Joe.
Chains. And which one are we talking about that's married to Sophie Turner?
Joe.
Oh, so it's the Mexican one.
Yes.
Which one is...
Oh, Nick Jonas is so cute.
Is the other one an actor? Now? Like, one's still a singer, then one's, like, known as an actor?
No, I don't think so. I think they were all in Camp Rock.
Kevin, you mean?
There's one named Kevin?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the third one.
Nobody ever really talks about.
Right.
Of course.
Do you have the Billy Eichner?
The Jonas Brothers assholes!
What?
Do you have the Billy Eichner when he interviewed women on the street?
Yes.
Okay.
Is Kevin
it's my favorite thing.
Is Kevin the one with the regular wife, the non-celebrity wife?
I believe
that's right.
So, yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Here's Billy.
Miss, the Jonas Brothers are back.
What? Oh, my. Ah! Wait, what?
All right, that was one reaction. Here's the other.
Sir, it's the Jonas Brothers.
What about them?
They took a break, now they're back.
Who cares?
Okay.
But you have the part where...
I don't.
Oh,
that's a shame. We'd like to move on, though.
It's the best where the girl goes out, he says, which one's the hot one? And they said, Nick. And then Joe and Kevin walk away, and they look at Joe. They're like, no, Joe, just kidding. And Billy Eichner yells, what about Kevin? And it delighted me to no end, you guys.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, right.
What does Lufus do?
I think he is the one that would bring the fiddle on stage.
Oh.
And they're like, we don't play the fiddle, Lufus.
That makes
and
sense.
Then he'd walk
but
away
every
all
single
sad.
Concert,
every single
try.
Time. Yeah. Was sad. He loves a fiddle.
He does.
Oh, just Lufus.
And Chark's not in the band.
No, Chark was, they had a weird situation in Cincinnati with him.
Oh, Chark got me too'd.
Yeah.
Chark Jonas.
Yeah.
Finally taken down.
Chark. All right, we're idiots. Let's call Fred Durst. Happy birthday, Clint Eastwood, Chris Elliott, Colin Farrell, Brooke Shields, DMC, and Dave Robertson. Can you hear this? Yeah, nailed it.
Can you hear this?
Oh, okay, better, yeah.
Because you know we're on the air, right?
Oh, jeez.
The microphones are on.
Kevin, how about a heads up?
What are you doing?
How about a heads up?
I feel like being won that
well,
round, though.
I'm embarrassed that was what I did. Not that I burped, but it was that.
It was awful. A weak burp.
It was so weak.
Yeah, you came weak.
Don't do that.
I hate everything.
Yuck.
All right, we're stalling here, guys, because we're trying to make this decision about the Fred Durst.
We're doing it. We're doing it.
Well, we have a number. We call it.
We are legally obligated.
I don't think we are.
No, we are. I checked. I called my attorney. He says we have to call Fred Durst if we have the number. Or we supposedly have the number.
Hashtag biscuit for weenie. We've been putting it out there in the radio universe like Stryker taught us. And so far, you know what we've gotten? Diddly.
Nothing.
So Dave says this is his phone number, so let's call this phone number and find out. Nervous.
This is not the number. There's no way.
How do we feel about Muggs dialing
not
that number?
Not great. I mean, yeah.
Really, number by number.
This is very exciting.
Hello.
Hey, is this Fred Durst?
I mean...
Hello?
Who's this?
Hey, Fred, it's Kevin. You know what? I forgive my partner. He's being very rude. Is this Fred Durst?
Who is
it? Fred, it's Kevin and Bean. We haven't talked to you in a million years from K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean?
Yes, Fred. Kevin and Bean.
I think it's going well, guys.
So far, so good. You do remember who we are. We have been talking about you on the air nonstop for the past month. Somebody must have told you.
He totally hung up.
He hung up phone.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. He hung up. I mean, that is not an uncommon reaction.
This is not working well.
Still.
We're doing it again.
Let's try. Call him back.
Call him back.
Hold on. No, wait. Really? Yeah. Call him back?
Yes.
That wasn't the answer you needed to hear, which was he hung up on us?
Wait, no. I'm under the assumption we may have been disconnected.
Okay. Oh, well, yeah. You're a very optimistic person, then.
I say that's what we lead with. Oh, it appears
we just
were
got disconnected.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, I'll do it. Maybe coming from a lady.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Are you going to start?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hello.
All right,
Allie, you're handling this?
Yeah, I'll take it from here.
Woman.
Hello.
Guys, unfortunately, it appears we got disconnected. So I've got Kevin and Bean on hold for you, Fred.
The Kevin and Bean?
Yeah, let me patch them through.
Thank you to our operator. Fred, I guess we did get disconnected. It's Kevin and Bean from the world-famous K-Rock. How are you?
This really sounds like you guys. I'm thinking maybe how can you prove it?
How can we prove it? I mean, we're on the radio right now doing a show. If that helps.
You could check the radio.
How can we prove it?
Hey, somebody, hey guys, turn on the radio real quick. Tell me if you hear this.
How many people call you and say that they're Kevin and Bean?
Constant.
That's a good question.
I think some people have used your aliases a few times, actually.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, if we were faking it, we would fake it with way more famous people, Fred. Come on. I'll tell you how we can prove it.
Start at the A-list, not at the D-list.
Yeah,
no, you're right about that.
30
point.
Years of legacy.
Fred, here's how I'm going to prove it. Kevin and Bean and Limp Bizkit on the top of the World Trade Center
in September of 2000 while you're filming your Take a Look at Me Now video, doing an interview, chatting it up with the helicopters and the whole deal 1 year before the towers fell. One of the greatest moments of our lives being up there with you. Do you remember that?
Oh, well, then I know it's you guys.
Okay. All right. There we go.
It's Fred Durst. It's Fred Durst, and we are Kevin and Bean.
And we're out of time.
Hey, guys, where the hell have you been? What's going on?
Well, the reason we're calling, Fred, and I hope that this word has gotten to you so that this is not a total shock, is we came up with an idea after you played the OC County Fair to rave reviews and 10,000 screaming fans. We thought, oh, my God, it's time for Limp Bizkit back on K-Rock. Why don't we try to get him for the Weenie Roast? And we have been running this up the flagpole for weeks now, trying to make it happen, and we just didn't have any way to get in touch with you. So it took us a long time to kind of track you down.
That's what I've been seeing, some like social things, like I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, biscuit for weenie.
Right, biscuit for weenie is what we would say, because we're doing it. We're doing it at Doheny State Beach down in Orange County this year for the first time. We thought, what an amazing summertime beach party band y'all would be, you know, because we got 311, we got Snoop Dogg. I mean, it's going to be a fun show.
Dang,
we
thought 311.
We thought it was missing what you guys are bringing, so that's why we've been trying to get the word to you about the Weenie Roast, and we didn't know if you had any thoughts at all on it.
Oh, my gosh. What's the date?
June 8th. It's next Saturday.
June 8th.
Next Saturday?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Jesus, last minute.
Tomorrow. That's how we work.
We've been putting it out to the universe.
Let me look at my calendar real quick. Let me see.
Okay.
Oh, Saturday, next Saturday. Oh, brunch with Manson.
Oh, no. You guys are close.
That's a shame.
I mean, he loves the beach.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Everybody knows Marilyn Manson loves the beach.
I don't know, man. Guys, it's so last minute. How the hell are we supposed to pull that off?
Maybe it can be rearranged.
Dear God. Allie, we had him. He was close.
All right.
Allie, my bad.
Well, if we take a look around, my generation.
You just have to have
faith. Buying salad dressings and body washes now. They're not listening to Limp Bizkit anymore.
No,
I'm gonna break stuff if you guys don't stop this. Seriously.
Oh, come on.
Look, I don't expect an answer now. In fact, I wouldn't believe an answer now if you said it, because you'd just be trying to get us off the phone. We just want to put it in your head, Fred, and say if you and the guys are in town, my God, we go back a long way. You haven't played the Weenie Roast since 2000, for God's sakes, and we would love to have you back.
Yeah, I remember. Thank you, man. Well, my God, this is so overwhelming. I don't even know I don't know. Let me
take the weekend.
Yeah, you got a weekend. Fred, don't jump into it. You have the weekend.
And then we're going to call back on Monday. Cool?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
We'll call back
Monday, show
me what you got.
Yeah,
I'm not okay, stopping, guys. Fred.
I'll keep on rolling.
Okay. See? I love it.
We are going to call you back Monday, though.
Monday, calling you.
Right?
Well,
it'll be okay.
Hear from you guys. Let me, I'm not really sure I could pull that off.
Come on.
Give me a call back next week, and I'll see.
Fair enough.
It's confusing, but I'm great to hear from you guys, man. I'm still a gigantic fan of both of you, and I love K-Rock.
Have a great weekend. Run up by the guys. Check your schedule. See how you're feeling. We'll talk to you Monday. Thank you, Fred.
Are you sure that there's people out there that are ready for that kind of party?
Yes. Our audience is...
party is a little different, you know.
Understood.
Yeah. Give me a call next week, man.
All right.
Monday. Sounds good.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Fred. Thanks, Fred.
Bye. All right, bye.
Guys,
that went well.
Yeah. That went very well.
I think that went better than I could have expected, except for the part where he hung up on us.
Yep. I mean, Limp Bizkit, yes. But Arnold Schwarzenegger rapping... Anyone?
I don't know if it's a yes.
Yet, no, I'm please. Saying, you, sure, that's a fine it. Effort. Yes, is what I mean.
Okay. I felt good about how it went with Fred, by the way. I really did.
But I'm saying now I'm adding another name to the list, which is Arnold Schwarzenegger rapping.
We can only take on one more person. If you don't know, the Weenie Roast is a week, basically, away from today.
But Arnold Schwarzenegger is rapping.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is 71 years old, by the way. Somebody told me that he used to be in politics, but that doesn't
make sense, right?
He is going to be back in the next Terminator movie called Terminator Dark Fate at the end of the year. He is currently on the GQ Germany cover, and he has entered a studio for his first ever rap. He's 71 years old.
Bean, do you know that from your subscription?
Like, I do, yes. Okay. I get all the GQs from around the world. You've seen how I dress. Yeah. Come on. I'm always fly, as the kids say.
Sure. No kids.
So I guess this guy that he knows that he works out mm-hmm. with is the one who made
that he works out with. That's the key. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a workout partner.
Okay. Right. But he's also a singer.
Right.
He's also a singer. His name is Andreas Gabalier, and he released a new song called Pump It Up. The motivation song, where he sings the song and then he brings the Governator in to do a little rap break in the middle. And I think this is this may even be a world premiere, as far as I know. I don't know that this has been played.
We don't have any idea.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Okay.
He was born in Austria. He had a dream to become a star. A poor young guy, but never shy. Said, here I am, hold on.
How about Andreas, huh?
So wait.
How about
so
Andreas?
So the song, I thought it was a motivational song.
It is.
The song is actually about Arnold, though?
It's pretty much about Arnold.
I feel like we need backstory,
sure.
right? And he's supplying it.
I don't know why he started from the beginning, but he did.
This sounds exactly like Rock Me Amadeus. This sounds
it does.
Like he's telling the Falco story.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and
what do you want me to do about it?
No, I'm just saying okay. it's, I didn't expect this. All right.
He started counting lifts when pain comes on. Pump it up, don't bring it down.
Pump it up, don't bring it down.
And then they show a video of both of them working out.
Pump it up, don't bring it down.
Unbelievable.
Here's Arnold. Oh, no. Wait, I'm sorry. More singing.
States, first time born American shades. A hardware command was only 19 when he became a steel machine in the Gold's Gym of Venice Beach Town.
This is where he worked out. What? Let him rap if he's going to rap. What's happening?
This is an origin story.
Pump it up, don't bring it down. I'll be back.
Okay. Terminate still superstar.
Then wouldn't you have thought he would take over
right?
the Earth?
Right.
No, he just says, I'll be back, and then the guy keeps singing.
Well, he'll be back.
He's later.
They call you Conan the Barbar, pumping iron, steel machine, living legend, evergreen. Governator, Mr. Universe, Olympia.
All right, now he's just naming stuff.
American Idol, worldwide played.
Okay, listen, where's Arnold? Let the man rap. The guy's been singing for 8 minutes.
He's just reading his IMDb now.
Give us Arnold.
Hollywood's calling and he got paid. Higher than the Empire State. A rising star and there he said, I'm Hercules in Manhattan downtown. Pump it up, don't bring it down.
Dang it if you know it.
Hey, I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. Listen carefully. Dig deep down and ask yourself, who do you want to be?
Oh.
Not what, but who. If you believe success will come to you. Work like hell, trust yourself, and all your dreams come true. Break some rules, not the law. Don't be afraid to fail. You have to think outside the box. I say no pain, no gain.
Any other cliches?
That doesn't rhyme at all.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
No. I don't want to hear it can't be done. Give always something back. My name is Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'll be back.
You can't be back. You can't.
Who did that?
God damn it.
Arnold also started with that. He said, I'll be back like 7 times in this song.
You can't.
And he hasn't left once.
No.
He is. Now, Jensen, I know that you do the Drop the Mic show, so you've seen all kinds of rappers. For God's sakes, you even helped us learn to rap.
Yes.
But Arnold Schwarzenegger, English is not his first language.
No.
He's 71 years old.
Yes.
He's never done it before.
You're going to tell us he's pretty good.
I mean, is this awful?
No, he's not awful. But the problem is the lyrics are awful. He's on beat for 94% of it. I mean, he's also sort of doing the "My name is Arnold, I'm here to say" kind of cadence. It's fine. He's not a mess. It sounds, you know, it's also recorded, so it could be moved around and stuff. But those lyrics are worse than he is at rapping.
But Terminator superstar.
Back to the singing. Yeah. Okay, can you pause it for a second? Yeah. He definitely says Conan the Barbar.
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
He shortens Barbarian.
Bring it back.
Yeah.
He didn't say that.
Hold on.
Terminator superstar. They call you Conan the Barbar.
Sure does. Be a star, Barbar.
Call you Conan the Barbar.
Oh, that's pretty strong.
Steel machine, living legend, evergreen. Governator, Mr. Universe, Olympia.
Again, just naming stuff.
Yeah.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Terminator.
Okay, I gotta ask, is it too late to switch my That's My Jam pick for later this hour?
Wait, talked to Fred Durst a few minutes ago, you guys. We called him at home from Limp Bizkit. It had been more than a minute since the last time we talked to Fred, but he seemed pleased to hear from us.
Did he, after he hung up?
Yes, after he hung up, okay. We got him back on the phone. Did he see, please? And it sounded to me like he will think about. He'll talk to the guys and think about our Bizkit for Weenie plan. And I bring that up now to say, if this is your half-hour commute to work or school, maybe you didn't hear Fred. Don't forget, we do have the Kevin DeBean podcast. And that is a conversation and a hang-up you are not going to want to miss. You can get it on iTunes or Spotify. I think we're on Spotify now and radio.com. Wherever you get your Kevin DeBean podcast.
I'm saying if you were thinking about going to Weenie Roast, I can't tell you for sure Limp Bizkit is performing yet. But, like, leave it up on your computer to buy the ticket and wait.
Just wait.
Because we should know, hopefully.
Well, I mean, we certainly have to know sometime soon.
Soon, yes.
It's a week from tomorrow.
Yeah. That's right, yes. So we'll give away some tickets later on, and we'll call Fred back on Monday morning. All right, hit it, Steve.
Oops, sorry.
Yeah, no.
There it is. That's what we're looking for.
Very different.
Guys, today's the day. Galaxy's Edge. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Okay.
Bring it down. Turn it up.
Nope.
Turn it up.
No. Let me
rip the knob off.
It is. Okay. It's. Oh. I love this music. I know, but we got a guest. What? We have a guest. Star Wars Galaxy's. All right, go ahead. Galaxy's Edge is opening today at Disneyland. Guys, it cost Disney $1 billion to build this. Don't need it. And now it can be told, is it worth it? I say yes, but I haven't been yet. Eric Goldman has. He is the managing editor of Fandom and the co-host of the WEW podcast. That's We Enjoy Wrestling. Eric, welcome back to the Kevin DeBean Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. I can't outdo John Williams, though, guys.
I mean, that's pretty tough. No one can. So you, as a member of the press, were lucky enough to go through Galaxy's Edge early. Is that what happened?
Yeah, this week, Wednesday was a big press day. I think they did a few, actually, this day. But Wednesday was the big day because it was press during the day, and then at night was the world premiere event where they had George Lucas and Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill and Billy Williams and just a whole bunch of people out to really do a big party for us.
Yeah, right,
only
exactly.
Only those guys.
Yeah. So, Eric, I guess the big – I mean, there's a lot to talk about, and we're just going to hand the mic over to you and just let you roll with it. But I guess my first question is, this is different than anything else we've ever seen at a theme park before in that it is a completely immersive experience. You're actually living in the world of Star Wars when you're in the park, right?
I feel like it's the evolution. I mean, I think a few years ago when Universal did Wizarding World of Harry Potter, it really upped the game as far as, you know, oh, wow, you know, trying to make you really feel like you're walking into this world you love. Mm-hmm. The Pandora world, the Avatar world, the Disney world did that too. But I think this is the evolution. This is the next stage of it because they just go so far with it. They make it so perfect as far as feeling, oh, yeah, I've stepped into a Star Wars movie.
How do they do that? Specifically,
it's just first of all, visually, they've managed to block out the rest of Disneyland, so it's not like you see Small World or something that will throw you from being in Disneyland. I noticed the top of Big Thunder, but it kind of works because it's just kind of a rock spire, like where you are. But otherwise, yeah, you completely feel in there. All the cast members are in character, from the people you're paying to get food from to just people walking around. They are, I'm a Resistance member, I'm a First Order member. They will talk to you like they're part of that universe.
Super immersive, right?
Oh, completely immersive. The merchandise, this is a funny thing they talked about at the press thing. Nothing says Star Wars of all, there's a lot of merch. Don't get me wrong. I want to sell you stuff, of course. But it doesn't say Star Wars because if you're in Star Wars, you wouldn't know what Star Wars is, right?
That's true.
So it's
that makes sense.
To be part of it, yeah.
You can actually buy a lightsaber. You can buy a stormtrooper uniform. I mean, this is high end stuff they're selling, right? Hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to. I mean, there's certainly smaller things. I mean, there are little dolls, little figures of the characters. But yes, if you want to, you can spend quite a lot of money. There's a $200 lightsaber experience where you can build your own lightsaber. I did not do that, guys. It looked cool, but I did not want to spend. I was trying to spend a lot of money in different places.
That's your job, dude. Can't you write it off?
I don't get me wrong. I'll be back in a few weeks.
All right.
I'm gonna
tell
get
me,
it.
Eric. Tell me about this. Is Eric Goldman again on the line from Fandom. He's the managing editor there, talking about Star Wars: Galaxy's Edge opening today.
He didn't buy the lightsaber.
Tell me about being
I bought a lot.
part of the crew of the Millennium Falcon. How does this work?
So this is really cool. The main ride there, well, there's going to be two main rides. One's opening later in the year, but the one right now is called Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. And you go in there and you're part of a six-person crew. And you're either one of two pilots, two engineers, or two gunners. And you all work together. And it is an interactive game. It's kind of like the most expensive video game they've ever built. Because if you're a pilot, you have to do well or you will crash into things. You know, there is actual
can you
things
die?
Happening.
Will you die?
You will not die.
Okay, it's not
but
that realistic.
Be consequences.
Okay. Yeah.
Wait, will I get dizzy? Eric, will I get dizzy?
Yeah, you might. You might. I did not, but I talked to some people because it's a motion simulator. You know, it's like, you know, Star Tours, but of course, much up the ante on it. Mm-hmm. It is moving around. It's shaking. So if you're very prone to being sensitive to that sort of thing, watch out, because if you crash into something, you'll feel like you crash into something.
So how do you guys choose if it's six people? How do you choose who's the pilot? Because I want to be the pilot and yell at people.
Is that what it's about?
Yes.
I did think about this because basically they'll bring six people in a time. Now, if you're, you know, with one other person, that means you're going to be with four strangers. I think the only way you can be sure you get the position you want is if six of you go in together and you've decided together, because they're going to hand you these cards that say what position you are. So then you could trade amongst yourselves if you know someone.
I
or I
see.
Guess you could say to someone, do you want to be a gunner? I want to be a pilot. See if they'll trade you.
There's going to be fights, isn't there?
Sounds like I need to make friends.
Yeah.
Allie, you just want to say punch it, Chewy, right, Allie?
I cannot wait for this. This looks so good. Tell me you got to go into what we're calling the cantina, but it's not the cantina.
Oh, I got to go and I hightailed it there right after that amazing dedication ceremony with all those Star Wars luminaries. Mm-hmm. I ran to the cantina because they were opening it up finally for the party because I knew that had been a very hot ticket. It's great. It's small. It's like a small little bar, small little cantina, which is why the lines, I guess, have been massive. Even at the cast previews, there's been like hours to wait to get in because it can't hold that many people. But it's super cool. You feel like you are. It's not the cantina from the movie because you're on a different planet, but it feels very similar. And of course, you can get alcohol in there for the first time in a Star Wars in Disneyland.
Right.
You can buy alcohol outside of Club 33, which very few people can get into.
Did you drink blue milk and green milk and stuff?
I did drink blue milk and green milk. If I had to describe them, I'd almost say they're kind of like Jamba Juice type flavors.
All right, I mean.
They wanted them to kind of, you know, they didn't want them to taste like milk. It has to be something different. So there's almost like, you know, a citrusy sort of thing going on. I enjoy them both. I like the blue a little better. I argued with some people about that.
I would have loved to have heard those arguments.
Oh, yeah. Right.
The blue is better.
A lot of those arguments. This is the place for them.
There are going to be lines for this thing for the next 100 years, aren't there? I mean, this is... Star Wars is forever. I think we could all agree that. Like, every single generation is going to grow up with Star Wars.
Can
you turn it up?
Yeah, we can't really hear.
Turn it up?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think that's... Why don't you do that? I heard turn it up. No, not turn it up. Turn it back down. What? Eric?
The double.
Can I ask another question?
Huh?
Eric, would you say it's 100? Is it a 90? Where do you rank it?
I would say 100, honestly. You know, it's funny because the ride...
100!
Let the man finish. Go ahead, Eric.
like you were saying, the lines are going to be crazy for things like the cantina or for the Falcon ride. But if you're a big Star Wars fan, you can have a great time just walking around this land. Going into the stores, look at the walls, look at the shelves, look up high. They have put so many cool little touches, artifacts, masks and weapons, things that you will, even if you know them, you'll have that geek out moment. If you don't, you'll think that's kind of a cool thing. What's the backstory on that?
Says the guy who didn't buy a lightsaber,
right?
Right.
I'm gonna buy a lightsaber.
How much can we trust you, Eric?
I don't know if I trust a guy that's like, here's the thing, go to Galaxy's Edge and look at shelves. Come on, Eric.
It's amazing. You don't know how good Star Wars IKEA is, guys.
100!
Eric Goldman is the managing editor of Fandom, the fans' voice in entertainment, where fans can discuss, fight, and share knowledge on any topic. And the podcast is wewfandom.com is the website. Eric, thank you for coming on. We really appreciate you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. I'll have a blue milk with you sometime, guys.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.
Hey!
Nope.
Wow.
Nope.
Aggressive.
Nope. It was pretty aggressive, but
yeah.
I think I liked it.
Yeah.
Hey, Rock,
Thumbs
up. Luau and Beach Party Week from Saturday at Doheny Lumineers and their Oni Southern California appearance in 2019 are on the bill. You can win a pair of tickets to see the whole lineup, including Snoop Dogg, Silver Sun Pickups, 311, hopefully Limp Bizkit.
Limp Bizkit.
at 9 o'clock this morning, and we'll also be doing Keep It 100 today because it's Friday. Speaking of great music on the Kevin and Bean Show, Allie McKay, take it away for this very special Friday. That's My Jam.
It is one of our favorite things to do at this time every Friday. We all talk about the music that we're digging at the moment because we have very varying tastes in music, and sometimes you want to hear some new stuff. So we put together something called That's My Jam. It's a playlist. You can find it at Kevin and Bean on all of our social medias, but every single person on the Kevin and Bean Show picks a song, and then it's in your ear holes, and you love it. And sometimes, you know, things happen.
I don't know.
Oh, my God. It sounded like a threat.
Is that good or bad?
No, I just started having my coffee, so it's going to get better.
I see.
Kevin, you're up first.
Well, I picked Floyd Wonder. And I started to search for information on the band, and this is honestly what I found on their Facebook page. It's a tribute to the music of Detroit's one and only legendary underground funk mailman.
Needs more adjectives.
That's what it says. His name is Suede, a visionary party animal who went to bed by 4 p.m. and rarely left his kitchen and never recorded music. So this is a tribute
to that guy.
To that guy. And then it says, for band information, go here. And you click there and it goes, page not found.
Cool.
It's all I could find.
What's happening?
Marketing.
Floyd Wonder.
Okay.
And the song is called French Toast.
I'm at the Vatican drinking with the Pope. I'm out in Paris getting French toast. Tokyo sake sipping in the robe. Yo, Japan, dumb, oh, we got the toe. Yeah, I got that. Yeah, I got that. Yeah, I got that. I got that thing. I got that thing.
Real Arnold Schwarzenegger vibe.
I don't like French toast as much as you might expect me to.
What?
Oh.
I don't like to sully toast because toast is perfect as it is.
But French toast is a different thing altogether.
Yeah, but you don't muck up your toast with eggs. You know what I mean? Like putting eggs around.
By the way, this is a music feature as well. You're going to argue with French toast?
What just happened?
Well, because the guy's singing about French toast and I can't cook that.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's off brand for Bean to not like French toast.
I see.
Yeah. Wow.
Because toast is perfect.
All right, Bean, you're next. Just go.
I had no trouble finding information on my band because they are blowing up right now. They are an Australian group called Amil and the Sniffers. Amil and the Sniffers.
That's on brand.
All right.
Okay.
They are punk rock, and I mean R-A-W-K. I wish Chip were here today because I know that she would love this so much. They are this is a classic debut punk album that sounds like it could have come right out of 1977. The song I picked is called Got You.
Beer in the cupboard, your eyes to mine. You skip my tears and my lines. Buy me a drink and my eyes glaze over.
I got you.
And I don't care about the things I have.
I got you.
And I don't want anybody else.
I got you.
Walk in the room and I stop watching.
I got you.
I don't know what, but it feels like something.
I got you.
I mean, I like the song, but they didn't mention French toast, so how good can it be? And that's one of the slow songs on the album, by the way. Amal and the Sniffers, again, my pick is Got You.
Excellent. Jensen, you're up.
My song's from 2016, but people kind of re-stumbled upon it because of Jay-Z. Here's the thing. Hannah Williams and the Affirmations. She's from England, and producer No ID stumbled on her record while looking for samples and found what would become the blueprint, that's a pun, of 444, the song that he ended up writing, the most personal thing in his life. She was basically an obscure musician. She was a choir teacher.
Wow.
She got a message on her phone that said, hey, this is Jay-Z, call me back. She thought it was a joke.
Of course.
Called, and he said, I'd love to make this entire rap song around your sample. This is the original song, so not many people really know it, but it's so good. It's called Late Nights and Heartbreak, Hannah Williams and the Affirmations. You'll recognize it from the Jay-Z song, but I think the original might be better.
Why do I keep on running away? I'm a part-time lover and I'm never there. I find it hard to believe you don't want it to end.
She was a choir teacher
and didn't sing? Like, for a living?
I mean, that's great. She sang, but her main job was choir teacher.
Wow.
Yeah, and then the Jay-Z record, and people should hear the original. It's great, and obviously No ID picked it because it would push Jay-Z to a more personal place, being a part-time lover and et cetera, to deal with the affair, and it's just a great song.
Excellent. Yeah. All right. Well, my band, you might recognize because I added one of their songs about 6 months ago called Night Shift. The band is called Blue Brigada. They are four guys from New Zealand, and maybe the last time I brought them on for their song Night Shift, I might have said, listen, when you come to America, you can stay at my house. And it got creepy, and it was weird, but I still do email every now and then with one of the guys in the band that keeps me up to date with what they're doing. They have a 10-song debut mixtape that just came out called Almost Feel Good, and it is a blast. They're like alt-rock, hip-hop beats, and then these pop tracks. They are a blast. So I picked a song called Old Love by Blue Brigada.
Oh, yikes. Reminiscing, dancing in a strobe light. You're forgetting all about the hard times. So I'm saying goodnight. Wish you hadn't called me. Called me from the party. Yeah. Got me feeling older. Feeling all this older.
Fantastic.
It's great. So fun.
That's fantastic. We're all over the place today.
We're all over the place. And I'm just going to say, four dudes with New Zealand accents that are adorable. Come on,
right?
America.
That's what I'm looking for, is adorable dudes.
Kevin from New loves
Zealand. Come
adorable.
Stay at my house.
Well, no, they're going to stay at my house.
Live with me.
I mean, I am not against that. But again, it is our That's My Jam playlist at Kevin and Bean on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. You can find the link just pressed. Press follow and you'll follow, and you're going to have great music every single week.
New Zealand. It is a country. Yes, it is.
Present. Absolutely. I mean, the movie Eagle versus Shark.
Yeah, it was great.
I used to think was the greatest thing to come out of New Zealand. Now, Blue Brigada. Right. Which I hope I'm pronouncing their name right. Too late. Hey, some birthdays for you. Clint Eastwood, Chris Elliott, Colin Farrell, Brooke Shields, DMC, and Dave Roberts.
You know how you hate it, Kevin? Hate it when you don't watch a game and then you come in the next day. Well, like yesterday, perfect example. Mug says, oh my God, Dodgers came back from five back, including three in the bottom of the 10th or whatever it was. And you go, oh man, I wish I'd have seen that. I didn't know, right? You missed the great game of the night.
Right.
Well, that's what happened last night.
Mm-hmm.
And you are going to be mad at yourself all weekend long when you realize you were probably watching the stupid NBA Finals and you weren't watching the Scripps National Spelling Bee, which was brought to its knees last night, Kevin. Brought to its knees.
It was like when they had, like, it was a Tiger Woods moment.
Was it? Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. It was little Indian kids 8, the dictionary 0. That's what it was.
Wow.
Kevin, they ran out of words.
No
way.
Oh,
that's pretty strong.
They did. They ran out of words.
That's how long this thing went.
The kid go up to the mic and go, what else you got? We're here.
Mean, essentially, they might as well have been. They ended up at some point going, look, we have no contingency plan for anything beyond a tie, because they've had ties in the past. In recent years, it's happened several times where two kids refuse to lose and they just go, all right, it's after midnight at this point. These kids are 11. Let's let them go home.
That basically happened 3 times where there were co-champs of 2 spellers.
How do both of you know this?
Oh, right. Exactly. Yes. No, you're asking Jensen and me?
Yes. Or,
because it's a big deal.
It's not a big deal.
It's a huge deal. All right. So they decided at some point they were going to just make an announcement and go, all right, we're only going to 20 rounds. So that's what they decided to do, is they said, all right, we're just going to cut it off after 20 rounds. And there were 8 people left at the end of the 20 rounds. They spelled the final 47 words correctly.
I would like you to at some point give some of those to us. Because I don't feel like there's a chance we would get them.
Oh, I was doing it pretty much blind at times, and there was no way I was
getting
them.
And the most confident person in the room, Muggs, would also do just as poorly.
Woo! Maybe worse.
Well, I can play for you a montage of each of the eight spellers spelling his or her final word.
All right.
And you tell me if you would even recognize any of these as being English words, because I sure don't.
For 13-year-old Risha Gandhasri, it was this.
Ausloped. A-U-S-L-A-U-T. Ausloped.
You are correct. Why would a 13-year-old need to know that word?
I don't know. By the way, Muggs is back here like shaking his head. Yeah, no, I got this.
And then he missed it. And then he missed it. He was spelling it along.
So confident.
Of course he missed it. And
what is that word?
Who knows?
Who knows?
No one knows. Right.
There was one word in the final round where they asked for the origin. You know, they tell him. Yeah. And the guy goes, the origin is unknown.
So they made it up, basically.
All right, here's the next one.
14-year-old Aaron Howard.
Erysipelas. E. R Y S I P E L A S. Erysipelas.
13-year-old Saketh Sundar.
I can't even spell the names of these kids.
Isn't that one of the cats in Cats?
Yes.
Erysipelas.
Yes.
It might be.
Okay.
By the way, there's already, it's so funny because there's already shade being thrown by other spelling bees around the world. Raul Walia, founder of the South Asian Spelling Bee, said, they need to use harder words. The words are available. That would have never happened at my bee.
Wow. That would have never happened at my bee. Maybe she needs to change the wording, she or he.
Apparently, personal coaches are very big. And 13 of the 16 finalists used word lists and study materials from some former champions. And there's just, I mean, it's become so big now, the kids are, you know what they're doing is they're breaking the system like James is breaking the system on Jeopardy.
It is, 100%.
You've got champions now that are better than anyone who's ever played the game before, and the game is going to have to adapt.
But James is one guy. This is eight kids.
Eight kids.
And they said there's another way, too. You used to have to only get in through your regional newspaper. Like, they would have these contests, and you have to have a sponsor in your hometown. And last year, they introduced something called the RSVB, which, by the way, congrats on that. And you can basically kind of pay to pass that up. You give like $1,500 and you can join in trying that way. And they're saying that started last year, that's opening the field.
But these kids are so good, though, they would have won getting in anyway.
Well, they're saying there's only
you could have a bad... busy with their social lives that they don't have time.
Pushing away people of the opposite
right?
sex.
Like, I've got to spell.
Yeah, but they're saying, you know, like someone could have a bad day or there are two great spellers per city. This is a way that more people could come in,
Well, Kevin, you missed it.
I feel like I really am sad that I didn't see that.
Can I admit something that I'm willing to say on the radio? I cried six of the eight finalists. I cried when they won.
What happened to the other two?
I didn't feel those two.
Didn't care.
No, I didn't care about
those two. Just didn't care.
No, didn't feel
it. Wow.
Yeah, it was very emotional. It was awesome.
Mm-mm. Because it's like watching somebody, you know, run a marathon and you can't believe they made it to the end of the marathon.
Is it?
Yeah, right. like
and do you watch people run a marathon?
A lot of people do.
Yes, but you don't. And neither does Jensen.
I don't. But I did. Kids were like kind of falling asleep. They had been spelling since 10 a.m. And they closed up around 11:30, 11:40. I was going to be up all night. I didn't care.
Right.
I would have come here amped up on Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
Like if it went all night, I would have kept watching.
I missed that.
And flipping between the NBA Finals and that, I figured out which one was true athleticism. And I'll tell you one thing, it didn't involve Drake. So,
well, congratulations to all of you. Start thinking about what song you'd like to hear for this Friday morning. We do Keep It 100 right around 9 o'clock.
Don't pick a crappy song, people.
And keep in mind, Fred Durst may be listening.
Oh, good.
Yes. I was going to say, today would be a good day for a Limp Bizkit song. If somebody else would like to hear that, you can text it in. That's in about a half an hour from right now. We'll ask you what song. If we have it, we'll play it. That's coming up like we do every Friday here on K-Rock. Allie, you did not see Jeopardy last night?
I didn't, because it was the basketball, like, woo, dribble stuff game.
And your show was preempted?
It was preempted, yeah. They repeat it later in the night, but it'll be on my DVR when I get home, but whatever.
Spoiler alert, James won last night.
Oh, no, I looked it up.
Don't be ridiculous.
Alex Trebek is a goddamn international treasure, by the way. He's amazing on that show, and now apparently he is also superhuman. You gave us the good news earlier this week on What's Happening, that he is in near remission from his cancer. Now, what kind did he have? Pancreatic, right?
Stage 4 pancreatic cancer, which has pretty much a 9% survival rate.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
He's been undergoing treatment. He has more to come. He's got more radiation and chemo to come. But he said that he told People magazine that some of his tumors have already shrunk by more than 50%.
Wow.
He's 79 years old. When we got this, when we thought this diagnosis was released, we thought, well, this is Alex's last season of Jeopardy, right? There, you can't come back from this.
I mean, you sort of do, except if there's a 9% chance that you're going to make it. The odds are against you big time.
Very much so. So we started thinking about medical miracles, and that's the topic on the show today. Medical miracles. You were supposed to die. You had something awful, and you beat it, right? That's what we're looking for?
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. At 1-800-520-1067. And I guess it doesn't necessarily only have to be a life or death situation. I mean, it could be, here's what happened to my arm, and they were convinced they were going to have to cut it off, and somehow I was able to get it all back. You know, I mean, it could be anything where you really, really beat the odds. And I was thinking, we had a story, I don't know, within the last month or so, about that woman who was in a coma, remember, for 27 years?
Oh, that's
right.
Oh,
yeah, right.
27 years. And then one day she just wakes up and starts talking to her kid.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what I miss?
What's going on?
Hey, is James still winning in Jeopardy? First thing out of her mouth. That's weird. I mean, these are medical miracles. And some people say it has to do with faith. And some people just they can't figure out how some, you know, almost everybody dies from something. But you live. I mean, it's hard to explain. It's pretty weird.
There are many times when no one has any explanation. Yeah. You can guess, right. But you just don't know.
Yeah.
You just don't know. Crazy. Al, did you have it in your family?
I did. Yeah. My mother had a brain aneurysm, and it was real, real bad. And they had talked to us. They said, listen, if she comes out of this, because afterwards they put you in a, you know, coma, so your brain isn't swelled. It's a whole thing.
Medically induced coma.
Yeah. They said, listen, you're in for a long haul with your mother. You're going to teach her most likely how to walk, how to talk, how to feed herself, everything. There, like where it happened in her brainstem, it was just a bad, bad situation. And she came out of this coma, looked around and was like, who's been cleaning the house? And all the doctors
what? She knew everything that was
like,
going on?
They were in shock. Wow. They were like, this is just incredible. So, yeah, she's doing great. Wonderful. She uses it, you know, as an excuse.
Sure.
She pretends it affects her hearing. She's like, you know, the brain aneurysm. We're like, no, it didn't affect your hearing. But big ups to Cedars-Sinai, Dr. Shavink. Boop, boop.
So they did.
Why that noise?
I don't know.
Okay. They did surgery on her?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, you didn't mention that. I was just trying to figure out how that.
Yeah, brain aneurysms just went away.
They go away.
Well, that's why I'm asking for
details. No, we had. You weren't here when Dr. Drew was on. I'm so sorry. We had this whole conversation with Dr. Drew because Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones
had it. That's the other one I wanted to bring up.
And I said, did they do the coil procedure? And he's like, how do you even know that? And I said, oh, my mom had a brain aneurysm. And then Dr. Drew cussed on the air for the first time, which was pretty much made my life. But yeah, it was a whole ordeal.
And she's had your mom has had no repercussions from that.
No,
since.
Just bone of my dad. Everything's fine.
That's amazing.
Yeah, doing good.
All right. Well, this is a nice.
Maybe that's why she came back is just because she loves it so much. She needs the D.
This is a very nice. Don't ever say that about Allie's mom. Just guessing. This is a very nice topic to get us into the weekend. We're talking medical miracles on K-Rock. Let's start with line two. Let's say hey to John. He's in Los Angeles. He is our first caller on the topic. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, sir. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We are good.
Great.
Thank you.
What happened? Was it you or someone else?
It was me. I was at work one day, and I worked with kindergarten kids at the time, and they were like, teacher, you have a bump on your head. I was like, you don't know what you're talking about. Just get back to work. And
you didn't feel it just to see if you had a bump in your head?
No, I was like, who looks at the top of their head, you know?
So, and Kevin, kids are stupid. You know that.
That's true, yeah. I forgot that.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right.
So actually, after they kept saying that I went and got it checked out, CAT scan, nothing, x-ray, nothing. I had to go get an MRI. Didn't hear anything for about 2 weeks, so, you know, I'm thinking I'm out of the woods. Get a call, have to go to Hollywood. The guy walks in, I'm working on some emails and stuff, and I thought he was being a dick because he said, oh, no, I'll just wait. He just stands in the corner.
What?
And I'm, like, still working, and he's just like, no, finish. So I finished, but whatever. And he's like, I'll show you why. And he pulls it up. It's like a huge softball-sized tumor pressing down on my head.
Whoa.
And it's
how did a CAT scan and an x-ray not see that stuff?
Because of the bone, I guess.
Okay, so you have it there, and then what was your prognosis, and how did it go? Did you die?
He said already booked.
Good question. Did you die?
Are you dead?
A lot of people wish I would have, I'm sure, but I didn't. but no, he actually booked the ER for the next day because he's we have to get this out like right away because you should not be moving, you should not be walking.
Right, okay, and then.
And then you lived, though?
I lived.
I don't like him as much now. I wish he would have gone.
Come on.
John's ghost tells stories slow.
Did you tell stories quicker when you were alive?
Two surgeries back to back, out of work 6 months, but I have 10% out, 90% out. I have 10% still left in.
Wow, that's awesome.
Amazing. That is great.
Well, John, I advise you to go back and get that last episode taken out. Need some help.
If I did, that would probably kill me.
Oh, no. Well, same, John.
Oh,
same
advice. No. All right. Thank you, John. Appreciate the call. 1-800-520-1067. Medical Miracles. We'll take your calls next on K-Roll.
Sorry, LA. I turned you up while you were coughing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My bad.
We're talking about medical miracles here on the Kevin and Bean Show ahead of Foster the People. In other words, you should have been dead or severely or mortally wounded, but somehow you survived and came back. 1-800-520-1067. Greg, Woodland Hills, line 4. You are lucky to be alive, I understand.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hey. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. You bet. What happened to you?
I had 4 strokes before the age of 17.
Oh my God. And, usually takes me more.
Yeah. Oh my God!
two of them left me pretty much paralyzed from the neck down. Oh. The doctors told me I would never walk again. My parents started retrofitting the house to handle a handicapped wheelchair teenager.
Oh my gosh!
So how does this end?
Well, I'm in my 40s now, and you know,
so you
would never know if you looked at me that I had anything happen to me.
Wow,
that
I
is
do have
crazy.
a little residual effects on the left side of my body, uncoordination. I can't play baseball anymore. I was actually most valuable player in high school in baseball.
Yeah,
and had a scholarship to any college I wanted to go.
Right, well, this is a good story. Before you brought that up,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. Now it just got sad.
Now baseball, he thinks is too slow to like this guy's incredible health story.
It is. So you were paralyzed from the neck down, and then forgive me for I don't want to spend too much time on this, but did it just go away, or did they figure out some way to make it go away, or what happened?
No, they actually they never figured out why they happened. And when you have a stroke, you lose all the connections between your brain and your muscles and your body. So you have to retrain everything, starting with crawling. You learn how to do that when you're a baby, you know, drinking from a straw, all the little things you would never think about. You have to retrain your body how to do. So you got to start, you know, from nothing.
That's amazing.
And they put you on your hands and knees and just say crawl. And, you know, really, it's funny not knowing how to crawl. But you don't know how to crawl.
But you got to crawl before you walk, Greg. Am I right?
All right.
Yeah,
out.
Exactly.
Get out. Get out. Greg, I apologize. You've been through so much already.
And then you have to face that.
Then you got
to
call in and Allie talks to you.
You were talking about it takes you more than 2 strokes, Bean. We all heard it.
More calls coming up next on the Kevin and Bean
Show.
The
man played baseball, Allie. You gave him no respect.
The people of the world famous game.
Hey, guys.
What up?
Hey.
6.7.
Hey, Ashley from Irvine writes in from the 714. My dad died on the operating table after a steering wheel column went through his chest in a car accident. He
Holy
was declared
crap.
Dead when they were bringing the sheet over his head. A nurse saw him move, so he actually died and came back. That is that's a medical miracle.
Did he die again?
What?
Like, is he dead now?
Just came back for a minute?
Well, that's what I mean. Guys, I do that. Oh, bye.
However, never mind. What if I were to tell you we have multiple people on the phone in our medical miracle segment that have died?
That's crazy.
And have come back and are still alive, including Robert on line 1 LA. Robert, congratulations,
what's up,
first of all. Welcome back to the living. How are you?
Doing really well, Dean. How are you? Going to miss you, brother.
I'm going to miss you, too, especially after this story. What happened?
I was having a heart surgery, and I was out for 7 minutes. I was told they were filling out the death certificate, and here I am today.
Wow. So when you were legally, I guess, declared dead, they always say you see, like, bright light, and you're welcome somewhere. Did you see anything?
I saw cats and a lot of flames. It was scary.
Oh,
they were
yeah.
stealing my wallet.
What's happening? What's going on?
I'm not sure.
What's going on?
It's a good question. Did they bring the wrong guy back?
Robert.
All right, Robert.
Can we send you back?
Not sure it works like that.
Okay.
All right. Who else? Who else died? Let's go to.
Who else died?
Let's go to Mike in Newport. His mom died and came back. So let's see what Mike's talking about on line five, please.
Hey, Mike.
Hi. So in 2002, my mom got T-boned on the PCH, mm-hmm. and she basically flatlined three times within the first 24 hours. They gave her about a 1% chance of living, and then 6 months later, she's totally fine. She was in hospital for 6 months.
Wow.
And was in a coma for a month out of those six.
And then she just sort of woke up and started living again?
Well, I mean, that's a very short way of putting it. There's a lot of work involved.
I'm sure there's a lot of work involved.
That's what Mike I would hates say if, you talking about his yeah, mom.
That's what I would say if I had no heart.
I think Mike just put you in your place.
He did.
And you deserved it.
Yeah, agreed. All right.
Well, I mean, Kevin.
Well played, Mike.
Kevin almost said, your mom's so lucky. It was so easy. All right. Well, give her our best, Mike, and thank you for the call. We appreciate that.
Oh,
all right.
Amazing.
Let's try. Let's go to Leah. She's in Redlands Line 6 up next. This sounds like a hell of a lot to go through. Leah, how you doing?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you this morning?
We are good. Thank you. You?
Doing good.
Okay.
Just dropped my daughter off at school.
All right. Is this the same daughter that gave you all the trouble during pregnancy?
Yes. Yeah, she's 7 now. When I was pregnant, we knew I was going to have a C-section because I had a 5-pound tumor. And they went to cut me open, and they nicked the tumor and my bladder.
Oh, no.
And it caused me to hemorrhage so bad that they couldn't give me blood transfusions fast enough. So they pretty much told my family that I wasn't going to make it. I was gone.
Oh, my God.
And to start thinking about what they wanted to do, as a paperwork, what the baby's name was going to be for sure. And
come on, Bean. Let her finish.
Come on.
How many blood transfusions did you have, Leah?
I believe around 25.
Oh,
oh
my gosh.
Wow.
In the same day. And then they put me onto a dialysis machine, I think, because mm-hmm. that was the only way to pump the blood in fast enough. Mm-hmm. And what Allie was just saying about, did you see lights or anything?
Yeah. Right.
What was so weird was I remember I woke up 2 days later and finally knew that, oh my God, I had a baby. Oh, okay. Hooked up to tubes and everything. But I remember the weirdest thing when I was out of it, and it was the trippiest thing in the world.
Okay.
It was like seeing the earth and the universe and like little cells and shapes and different lights. It was incredibly weird until I woke up and realized that, hey, you pretty much were declared dead.
Leah, I have good news. I have good news. You can replicate that by just smoking weed.
If you want to replicate that.
Scary. No.
Okay.
No, okay.
No. Oh, scary. Okay.
Well, wow. I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad your daughter's okay. And I'm glad you shared the story with us. Thank you very much, Leah. All right?
Thank you.
Okay. Let's do one more, and let's make it Alex. And I think this is going to put everybody in a good mood for the weekend. He's on line two, El Monte. Alex, you are a double survivor. What's going on, man?
Yeah. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Thanks
morning.
For having me on.
Sure.
Yeah, so in late September, right after my 48th birthday, I was diagnosed with colon cancer. And in between my surgeries, or when I was going to go have surgery, I had a CAT scan done, and they found another tumor in my kidney. So I had two cancers. And so having gone through both of the surgeries, I'm cancer-free today.
Congratulations.
Wow.
Colon cancer in September, kidney cancer in October, and here we are in May.
Wow.
And Alex is cancer-free.
Excellent.
Yeah, I actually had the kidney cancer done in February of this year.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Well, you are a medical miracle twice. So what are you going to do with the rest of your life now that you have been clearly chosen? Now that you are, have been saved for a reason, how are you going to make your life matter?
Well, honestly, I don't know. In between my recovery time and my first surgery, I was laid off from my job from SpaceX. So unfortunately, I'm looking for a job right now.
Well, that didn't end as happy as we... 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's 8:55.
We are going to give you the chance, as we do every Friday at this time, to pick any K-Rock song you want. If we've got it, we'll play it for you. We call it Keep It 100. The number is to text is 1-800-520-1067. And you have made some excellent choices in recent weeks. Riding on anyone else feel a little icky when the Moby song came on?
Yeah.
A little different from last time we played it. 1-800-520-1067. Text any K-Rock song you want. If we have it, we'll play it. You can do that right now. We'll play the song after the top of the hour. First, Allie's here with What's Happening on a Friday.
It's Friday, first of all.
Yeah.
Jensen, you worked with Sacha Baron Cohen on Who Is America, the Showtime show.
Yes.
Delightful guy, right?
He's great.
Here's the thing with Sacha Baron Cohen. He can never really escape the infamy of past characters.
Sure.
Right? Especially Borat. And this is why I'm bringing it up.
My wife!
The film came out nearly 15 years ago, but it's back in the news thanks to Cohen's upcoming appearance on The Last Laugh podcast. Specifically, Borat is back because of what it supposedly did to Pam Anderson's marriage to Kid Rock.
What?
At about the same time that the movie was being released, the celebrity couple was going through a pretty public divorce. And while discussing that with The Last Laugh, Cohen confirmed for the first time ever that this was indeed the case. In particular, he confirmed a text. He said he texted Pam Anderson after the screening of the movie and asked, "How'd it go? What did he think?"
Pam Anderson?
Talking about, yes, Pam Anderson talking about Kid Rock. She texted back that they were getting divorced. When he asked her why, she replied, "The movie."
What?
Apparently, they got into it. There was a 2006 news story that Kid Rock had started screaming at her, yelling that you're ruining, you're humiliating yourself after watching a screening of the film. Apparently, that actually did happen.
That's the
wow.
I mean, I do like the idea that that's the straw that broke them. You know what I mean? Like
her being in Borat was the last straw for their marriage.
It's like there's so many other things I guess you could have pointed to.
My preference, dog style.
So after he got that text, a few weeks after that text, they got a divorce. And they put the reason for the divorce as Borat.
I hate to say this, but it really is an embarrassment to all women.
My mom.
What? Your mom is just weighing in.
If you look at the divorce papers, the reason for split is Borat.
I don't want to slut shame her, but it's very apparent that she's a definite tease.
Oh, I don't think...
I think
she's unstable, to tell you the truth.
I mean, right.
Okay. Okay. All right. Sorry about that.
I really think that they picked the wrong person.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Sadly, she's talking about you, Jensen, for
Bam
the show.
Anderson?
Get it? Because you're wrong. All right. Guys, the three-eyed raven clearing up another Game of Thrones mystery. Remember, everyone was blaming the creators, Benioff and Weiss, for the ending. Like, oh, they don't even know what they're doing. They're the worst, and they should rewrite the whole last season because I'm mad. Well, Bran Stark actor Isaac Hempstead Wright revealed in a new HBO behind-the-scenes interview.
We don't need the cats singing the theme.
He's right.
We have the real theme.
One of the show's finale twists was directly from author George R.R. Martin. Here's the quote. Creators Benioff and Weiss told me there were two things author George R.R. Martin had planned for Bran, and that was the Hodor revelation and that he would be king.
Oh, so, snap.
He says that's pretty special to be directly involved in something that is part of George's vision. It was a really nice way to wrap it up. So there you have it. King Bran, apparently from George R.R. Martin himself. Benioff and Weiss were reached for comment, and they said, "Suck it, nerds!"
Did they say that?
They didn't. They didn't.
They should have.
They should, and if they want me to keep going with that, I will. But come on! That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that is pretty amazing.
Good stuff, guys. Some birthdays for you. We've got Clint Eastwood, Chris Elliott, Colin Farrell, DMC, Daryl McDaniels from Run DMC, and Dave Roberts from the LA Dodgers. But
Robert,
perhaps the saddest I've ever seen Kevin reliving this moment.
Come on, we have to do it again?
When he hung up on Brooke Shields, and you can hear her soul leaving her body.
Follow Ms. Shields on Twitter, at Brooke Shields. Hey, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, guys.
It's listen when I'm in LA. Okay, maybe you can't really hear her soul leaving her body there,
like,
because
we need to hear it.
The commercials interrupted her. What if we took the commercials away and tried to figure out what she was trying to say before she heard Cerritos Auto Square over her?
I may have played that a little prematurely.
Follow Ms. Shields on Twitter, at Brooke Shields. Hey, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, guys. I listen when I'm in LA. I listen to you guys.
Oh. God damn it. It truly is one of the things that bothers you, Kevin.
It really does.
And I'm sorry for bringing it up.
Few of them do, but that one really bothers me.
It's sad. I mean, sad bassoon. Couldn't have said it better. And
Kevin,
that's,
you're such a disease.
And it's one of our favorite times of the whole week. I mean, not 9/11. I mean, I'm not saying 9/11 is one of our favorite times.
It was weird.
Wrong with you.
I'm saying Fridays at this time, we enjoy Keep It 100.
I gotta keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100, bitch. I keep it 100.
Keeping it 100.
Keep it 100. I keep it 100.
100.
I keep it 100. I keep it 100. I keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
I'ma keep it 100. I'ma keep it 100.
100. 100.
Keep it 100. Keep it 100.
Texture 100 gets his or her song played every week at this time. Rigo from Boyle Heights was 99 with Be Quiet and Drive by Deftones. Not mad at that.
All right.
Texture 101, Jorge from Orange, Rollin' by Limp Bizkit.
So close.
Well, we're going to pretend it's 100, right?
So close. No, I'm sorry. No. That's not how it works. Texture 100, legal. I believe, is on the line right now. And this is going to be, this is going to be Mike from CB Valley. Hey,
Just, did you just faint?
Hey, Kevin and Bean.
Hey, Mike.
What's going
on, dude? Fred Durst. You know what, Fred? It would have been great to hear your song, but I'm sorry. Little Dr. Green Thumb on the K-K-K-K-Rock.
Just hit it.
We were going to chat with you, but no need. No,
cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Hello, Dr. Green Thumb. Paging Dr. Green Thumb.
Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb.
Hello.
I'd like to tell you just where I'm from. In the hills where the trees go wild with weed field. The Swiss shields holding the blue steel. Greenhouse effect with the weed connect. DEA can't keep the Green Thumb in check. P.S. God bless the whole crop. Please, God, don't let me see no cop. Truckload ready to hit the highway. Don't let the eye in the sky fly my way. Or we're gonna have big trouble, that's no can't be growing without no permit. But that I study the 215 script. That way when they come, they can suck my we can't grow without attention. Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb. Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb. But thanks to Dr. Green Thumb, we grow in the backyard or inside with hydro. Took the kush plant, crushing the tangerine dream. Tasty, blowing the smoke screen. Cycles of weed are constantly grown. Somebody give me the razor to cut drones. I'd like to stop, but it feels so good. 20 plants sticking up my whole neighborhood. DEA never wanna leave green alone. But never, ever, ever got a warrant for my home. What that funny sound knocking at the door? Sorry, Green Thumb, can't talk no more. Please don't follow me into the sun. Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb. Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb. In my closet, the weed is dried out. Like it said, ain't no place to hide out. direction. Look, I never told you where I was from. Some call me Rev, but I'm Dr. Green Thumb. Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb.
Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb.
I'd like to tell you just where I'm from.
Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb.
Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb.
Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb.
I'd like to tell you just where I'm from.
Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb.
You guys, I think that song is about the pot.
No.
I think it's about a physician.
No, it's about the pot, you guys.
It doesn't sound like Cypress Hill.
It's about the pot.
Keep it 100.
Mike in Simi Valley, great pick for Friday. Thank you. The name Dr. Greenthrum, by the way, dates back to the Josie and the Pussycats cartoon. Did you know that, Jensen? Dr. Greenthumb was the name of a villain who ruled creature plants.
Thank God I didn't know that.
Dr. Greenthumb. I had
no
idea.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
All right, Allie. That was Beans.
Fun fact.
I know you're a big Cypress Hill fan.
I am.
You probably have this one.
Mm-hmm.
On point, when did Dr. Greenthumb first get played here on the world famous K-Rock?
That was the late 90s, you guys.
Okay.
I feel like it probably was 98, but then it got real popular in 99. Mm-hmm. So let's go first play. I mean, cutting edge, sure, K-Rock. But
pick
so
a date.
99.
I'm sorry, no, 98.
Dang it.
September 1st, 98, so maybe it was more popular in 99.
She may have nailed it, yeah.
She may have actually nailed it with all of the waffling. I swear to God, Allie, you should be in politics.
Thank you.
We'll do it
Thank
again
you.
Next Friday where you get to pick the music. We call it Keep It 100.
It's a shame there's no way to recap things that happened during the week.
Yeah, people miss a ton of stuff.
It is weird that we do so many things and then no one knows what happened at the end.
I know I barely listen.
It's Friday on the show and I'm nervous for you. So in case you missed it, here's the week in review. Arnold's a rapper and we heard his debut when a sign at the Topanga Mall left me confused. We talked to a dude and aliens were his profession and for 10 minutes straight he seemed to dodge every question. Bert Kreischer kept his shirt on for recession and a man's butthole burst from too much air compression. We listened to Slang Man, he taught us a lot. And I killed an old landlord just with my thoughts. Jordan Kepler came in to hear Bean say, I'll never watch your show but your clips are okay. We talked to Fred Durst and we seem real close to seeing Limp Bizkit play Weenie Roast. But if he says no, then I'm swallowing glass. And if you missed that, download the podcast.
Oh, no. That's my favorite part right there.
Yeah.
Jensen actually makes it sound like it's a show worth listening to. Well done, Jensen.
Thank you.
Get the Kevin and Bean podcast at iTunes or radio.com or wherever you get your podcast, and we encourage you to do that. Allie's here with our final look at what's happening on a Friday morning.
It's Friday, first of all. And God bless the podcast listeners, because a gentleman named Jason tweeted me and said, I'm going to listen to the podcast, so don't know if you've covered it yet, but in case you didn't know, tonight's Mega Millions up to $444 million.
Yay!
Sure didn't know that, Jason. So glad you tweeted.
I think I'm going to win that.
Well, if you don't...
I have a good feeling about that.
If you don't, don't worry, because Saturday's Powerball jackpot, $350 million.
Now I want the other one.
You want the 444?
Yeah,
what are you going to do with $350 million? You know,
right?
This week.
I mean, these
After
are
taxes. It's like $200.
Nothing.
These are big totals, you guys. Is what I'm saying.
Oh, big totals.
Yeah. So, thank you, Jason. I appreciate you,
Veronica. What would be the first thing you'd do if you won the lottery?
I would build a karaoke studio in my house and sing "Love, Love, Love You, Baby," and then I would run naked down the street in Granada Hills, and then I would do beer mug.
That was a fake laugh if I've ever heard one. Similar plans for your money, Allie?
Well, I changed the song up, but definitely the naked and the beer mug. I mean, that's, I think, everyone's goal, right?
What percentage of lottery winners do you think put a karaoke studio in their home?
I'm going to say none.
I love it, too, but that was the alcohol talking.
Excellent stuff. You guys, Katy Perry released a song last night, or this morning, called Never Really Over. And she's got a lot of people guessing which ex-boyfriend she's up late Googling.
Oh.
Here are some of the lyrics. She sings about losing control. And when she starts thinking about an ex, she says, 2 years and just like that, my head still takes me back. Thought it was done, but I guess it's never really over. Oh, we were such a mess. But wasn't it the best? She then talks about how she dabbled in hypnotherapy. She had to rewire her brain, but she can't even go on the internet without even checking your name. Unclear when the song was written, but in 2017, Katie was still dating her current fiancé, Orlando Bloom. They dated 2016, 2017, broke up, got back together in January of 2018, have been together ever since. Could be him. Could also be she had that brief little fling with Diplo. Mm-hmm.
Right.
A couple years with John Mayer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think it's Russell Brand. I don't think that ended well.
I'm guessing
not. And really, what would you Google? Oh, yoga. So I don't think that's it.
Do we think it's Travis McCoy? I say that jokingly, but they did date for many years. I don't think it's him.
I think it's John Mayer.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he's got the good, if you know what I'm saying. And chicks are just like, I want some more John. Right?
Sure.
Can anyone confirm that in the room that knows John Mayer? Does he have the good?
I cannot confirm if he has the good.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Have you ever seen it, though?
No, I've never.
Like, you've never been, like, changing for a night out?
Good.
I felt like if he'd seen it, he would be able to answer that question.
I've never seen the good.
Okay.
Although, I will say, to add fuel to your conspiracy theory, Allie, is that Taylor Swift also wrote a very butthurt song about John Mayer, too.
Oh, we don't need to know where he put it.
No. What I'm saying is, ladies don't forget John Mayer after they dated him, is what it sounds
what
like.
I'm saying.
Oh, my God. Is it really that big?
I don't know, sir. Jensen won't tell
us. Big, fat, juicy pickles.
I'm just going with it was John Mayer.
Okay.
I feel like she's going to come out and be like, no, I wrote it about Orlando and when we were broken up for a minute.
Thick.
And wow. I say to that, agree, sir. It's about John Mayer, right?
Who stands around their house hitting themselves with fish?
That's an odd question, but... It's a very odd question.
Mm-hmm.
Who's with me?
John Mayer? I mean, sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, we were just talking about her.
I have a lot more penis drops if you want us to keep going.
Let's do them.
But
yeah.
I know you have other stories, but I mean...
All I can think about is sausage.
Okay, back to
okay, all right. So we just mentioned her brief fling with Diplo. He is in the news again. Joe Jonas was joking that Diplo ruined his wedding to Sophie Turner by live streaming the entire thing on Instagram. If you'll remember, after the Billboard Music Awards in Las Vegas last month...
I like penis.
Okay. Good to know. Joe Jonas and Sophie were like, hey, if you guys want to come to the wedding, just show up. Here's the thing. He went live on Instagram and Joe Jonas told the Capital Breakfast radio show that, yeah, he did ruin it. I love Diplo, but he loves his gram more than a 13-year-old. He posts every 5 seconds. He literally, like, live-streamed with dog face filters.
I mean, that makes me like it.
It made me laugh really hard. It turns out Diplo wasn't exactly authorized to share the news on his social media.
How many people were there, though? At the wedding.
I think like 10.
So wouldn't you know if somebody's holding their phone
up?
At my wedding, we had to announce, please don't post things till the next day. I think if you don't announce,
fair game.
Free for all, yeah.
Well, Joe and Sophie have no hard feelings. He said, we just laughed. We loved it. We thought it was ridiculous. I just love that he was walking into the chapel like, gonna hit this wedding real quick. Which I kind of love as well.
Turbo boner.
Okay. I mean... still got that going.
Penis.
Hey. J.K. Rowling announced yesterday.
Rowling?
Did you hear about this?
Rowling.
Rowling?
Announced yesterday.
Rowling? Rowling.
Slurge.
Which one is it?
I think it's Rowling. J.K. Rowling.
Slurge.
J.K. Rowling. Kevin, is it Rowling or Rowling?
I always thought it was Rowling, but I don't know. So let's
I
just...
I always heard it was Rowling is what
Limp
I heard.
Biscuit!
From your lips to God's ears.
Anyway, she's releasing 4 brand new stories in the Harry Potter series.
She can't stop.
The new ebook editions will be available for $2.99 a piece in June through Pottermore. She's calling them bite-sized stories. So
she can't stop. She can't stop.
Why doesn't she just write more books?
I think it may come to that at some point because she obviously loves these stories so much. And there's so much in that noggin. That she loves it.
This is Michael Jordan on The Wizards to me. Wow. Just move on to another.
Why?
Because just move on to another book, man.
Well, she did, remember? And yeah. It did not exactly catch fire the
she
way
she used a
did.
Fake name, and then it was so right. bad, she's like, it's mine. And then everyone was like, still bad.
Well, these little bite-sized nuggets are going to provide insight on various subjects learned at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. Such as charms, defense against the dark arts, herbology, and care of magical creatures.
I'm in.
I think that sounds delightful.
Kevin, when you say you're in, though, you're mm-hmm. not actually going to read them.
No, they're going to make a movie about it, right?
Okay, all right. I just want to make sure I understand.
It's like, I'm in once they make that movie.
I like penis.
You guys remember that scene from When Harry Met Sally, where she's in the deli and she has a little orgasm mm-hmm. at the table.
Yes.
She fakes it to prove to him that this is fake. Right. She went from to that's a great recreation.
Yeah.
But Katz's Delicatessen is going to have a pretty interesting contest this July. The legendary Jewish deli, known for its pastrami and corned beef sandwiches, is going to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the romantic comedy by inviting fans to demonstrate their ability to fake orgasm, just like Meg Ryan's character.
I'll have what she's having.
10 more. Let's go.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That was, I think, Arnold Schwarzenegger mm-hmm. working out. But
maybe working out.
Not sure. But if you'd like to open the contest, it's open to all genders on July 12th. And you're going to be judged by some notable New Yorkers and special guests. It's true. Don't know who yet. But you can also get the I'll Have What She's Having package. $135 includes exclusive merch and classic favorites. I mean... Well, that might not win.
Hmm. I'm Hulk Hogan, by the way.
That might, right? Okay.
I feel like this is a weak report, but it's our fault.
I think we just
that's what I think's happening.
Wrap it up and go home, shall we?
Whoa.
Wow. That sounds aggressive.
That's the winner. Give him all the cats merch.
Happy birthday, Clint Eastwood, Chris Elliott, Colin Farrell, Brooke Shields, DMC Daryl McDaniels from Run DMC, and LA Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Ellie. These SoCal helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with Stryker's commercial free-for-all during your drive home today on the world famous K-Rock.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Kevin, what about Kevin?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I'm an extremely stable genius.
Roll another one.
This is what happens.
Just like the other one.
Jensen Carpian cleared out of the way.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
And I need another hit.
Okay, what does it mean if your teen says, I'm going to put on my jams? Not my jammies, I'm going to put on my jams.
Music.
Music. Very good. Mm-hmm. I wonder if everybody else out there got that.
I hope they did.
We all did.
Roll.
Kevin, where are you, Kevin?
Just like the other one.
Kevin's crazy.
This one seems to be about
spent. Just let Kevin live.
And I don't have another cent.
Okay, guys, hey, guess what? You just got blamed.
Yeah! Oh! Don't bogart that joint.
Where's my sauce?
Just pass it around.
Dilly-dilly!
And don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Oh, we had it.
Just pass it.
Hi. Today you saw why everyone should be given a chance to prove his or her abilities. Don't put someone down just because they're different from you. And don't put a girl down just because she's a girl. When a person's talents are wasted, it's a loss to all of us. See you next week.
Oh, and this is over.
There was like a lot of toilet paper, a lot of Vaseline all over the handles of doors. There were chickens.
Bong, bong.
Say bye.